I'm up here for two roles. One, I will be up here the remainder of the time. It's my job to help keep things moving this morning, and I brought a little something to help with that, and I think it might come in handy. There is a clock on everyone, and I will be sitting right back here. So that's 75,000 or something. I don't know. 70. I'm not sure, but it'll hurt. I know that. My second role up here is to talk to you about a couple of new ministries that have begun this year. Likely, if you're aware of these ministries, you're involved in these ministries for the most part, because you know about what they do. And that is the Fellowship After 55 began this past year. A number of people were involved in getting that off the ground. And this group of people that I guess are older than 50, 55 or older, don't want to drive that into the ground too much, but they meet on the third Wednesday of each month. They have a meal, they have a program, and just outstanding fellowship. And, you know, that's one thing that we recognize here at Harbor Shores is that we want to continue to find ways for people to connect, people to grow relationships deeper with one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. And, that can't all happen on Sunday morning. That can't all happen on Sunday night. And so that's one of the ways in which we're trying to help see that move forward. Another way that that has begun to happen is with our young professionals group. This is sort of the older 20s and 30s. And people are young single men and women that have jobs. They have a lot going on in their lives, but they're looking to do the same thing. They're looking to connect with more people, to have some fun together, some fellowship, some study of God's word. And already they've had a number of activities that they've met up for and are looking forward to good weather when they can get outside. Some of you may associate this with the survey that went out last fall, the Connecting Outdoors. A lot of you saw that, and over 100 people responded. This was the target group, but we have passed on all that information for the surveys to, I think most of the ABF leaders have gotten that. And so hopefully, as you move towards summer, you guys can consider, as an ABF, or ABFs together, how that you can do what these groups are doing, how they are connecting outside of class for mutual encouragement, for fellowship, and just a wonderful time together. That's important that we have fun together, isn't it? But it's not all just about fun. It's about growing deeper in our relationship with Christ as we grow deeper in relationship with one another. So those are a couple of new ministries, and if you're of those ages, you can find out more as you watch the bulletin, and hope that we get more and more people involved in that. Up next, we have Nola Tucker.
Partnering with parents to guide children toward a heart for God is the goal of the children's ministry here at Harbor Shores. Showing the love of God and communicating that to our young people, as well as building an established foundation on God's word, is really the heartbeat. And we do that on a regular weekly basis through our Awana program, our children's church programs, and our Sunday school programs. We have some outstanding teachers that we are truly blessed with here at Harbor Shores. And it's been my privilege to institute a program of fellowship and training for our teachers. We meet every fifth Sunday, so the months of the year that have five Sundays, about four times a year. We meet for a time of fellowship with the children's church and the Sunday school teachers. And so our next class will be coming up on the 30th of this month, and we're going to be learning about discipline and working on that aspect of teaching. Besides our ongoing weekly programs and for our children, we also have a few annual events that we have, and VBS is coming up in just a few months, and we've already had our first meeting, our planning meeting. But we still, and God is bringing together a really great group of individuals to lead the Vacation Bible School. But we still have a lot of positions that need to be filled. And so I'd like to just encourage you, if you have not ever worked in Vacation Bible School, or maybe it's been a long time, or maybe you regularly do every year faithfully contribute to our Vacation Bible School, but I'd encourage you to contact me or one of the other individuals on our planning committee, and we'll be happy to plug you into some aspect of Vacation Bible School. And another thing to keep in mind is that we will not only be needing personnel, but there will be a need for donations. So we'll be collecting items for our crafts as well as our decorating supplies and also food for our snacks. So please be generous when those sign-up sheets come around. Our Vacation Bible School isn't just for our own children here at Harbor Shores. We really would like to open it up and have many of the children in the surrounding community come to our church and to learn more about the good news of God's Word. And speaking of outreach, I'm happy to announce to you that coming up this fall, we're looking at planning a fall festival. This will be a family event, and it will include a children's carnival, possibly a trunk or treat, and other fall activities. And the main goal for this event is outreach. We would like to give our children and our families a really exciting, fun event to invite their unsaved friends and family and to come to here at our church, as well as opening it up to the community and getting many of the young families here in the Cicero and Noblesville area to come to our campus or our church facilities here and to just, be comfortable here. More information about that will be coming as the event comes closer, but we do plan on that being a church-wide outreach event. And then the last thing I just want to mention is that for many years, our church has had a good relationship with Twin Lakes Camp. And again this year, we'd like to see a good group of young people be able to attend camp. But as the increase in price of camp, it just keeps going up, some of our families are really struggling with being able to afford to send their children. So those of us who no longer have children that age in our home, we might want to consider God's leading us to give a donation to kind of help out those families who would like to send their children and can't. So if you're interested in doing that, please designate a gift in the offering for it. Thank you.
And I might add that Nola Tucker has been an excellent add to the staff here for the children's ministry. Speaking as somebody who does a lot in that area, it's a wonderful person to have that's a coordinator and also friendly and vibrant and energetic. I'm introducing and then going to talk about the mission trip portion of this event. So let's be aware that Jesus did not say, "Go ye into your own house and preach the gospel." He indicated that we should go very, very, very far away and very close. So the first portion I'm going to bring up is Word of Life Ministries, which would be one of the closer ones. So you're going to hear more about some that are further away. So Word of Life, let me just tell you a little bit about what it is. There was a man with a vision in New York City who wanted to set up a ministry that could minister in that area of the country. He was blessed by God over and over again, basically with everything from finances to land to people, and that's Jack Wortson, and that organization has grown and flourished. So, for example, in this country, if you're going to do Awana, that's one of the larger kids' curriculums and ministries, but Word of Life is also a large provider of that. That's just one example. So they actually run a large, basically, college up there in upstate New York. So it's not New York City, by the way. And then they convert it to a camp for the summer. It includes local kids can come all the way till they bring in underprivileged kids from New York City and other urban areas. So you can imagine going from a camp to a college and back again is a bit of a task, and whether it be maintenance or just plain conversion. So we help. I want to say something about this. We are critical to what they do. They bring in volunteer ministries from all over. School, you'll go up there and sometimes you'll be volunteering with a group of 50 kids from Florida. But they count on us to a large extent. When his crew comes, we wear a yellow shirt. We are the only people allowed to park their 5,000 person parking. All the way to renovating dorms and things that are important. So we kind of have a list of the dates. We're going to go in June. We're going to do in August. And those particular times are ones that we need to see what kind of group we can bring. We've brought as few as 4. We've brought as many as 50-something. We brought 28 2 years ago and renovated an entire dorm for them in the space of a week. So if you're thinking, I don't do much, can we go to the next slide? I don't do this whole maintenance thing or moving things around. I want to indicate it's nearly free, but we've done everything from painting to putting library books back on shelves and putting things in envelopes. So if you're thinking, I don't want to do the whole physical maintenance thing, or I have a little kid, we've had babies come, and the moms are stuffing envelopes. So I just want to indicate that this is one of the opportunities. It is the lowest cost one. It doesn't mean it's the best or the worst, but if you are short on cash, I will say this is a wonderful way to break into mission trips. And then we go to the next one. So,
another opportunity is one for our primarily for our junior and senior high students, and that's our annual trip to Kansas. We go to Kansas. There's a small church there that I actually grew up in, Peniel Bible Church. And this church has about 20, 25 people probably there this morning. They have 140 acres of campground. And at this camp, they've been holding camps for about 50 years now. And that would not have happened had not over the past 15 years Harbor Shores Church not sent teams each year. They need you. The average age in that church is probably about 65. They cannot do children's camps. And so each summer, we take a team of about 20 to 40, depending on who all signs up to go, young people and adults. And at that camp, we serve as counselors, we serve as cooks, we serve as groundskeepers and teachers and musicians. And so it's a great opportunity for young people to get involved. And the reason we don't make it just an all-family event is because I found if you take too many adults, what do adults do? They will then begin to take over the jobs that we normally out there give to our young people, and this is a wonderful opportunity for them. However, I will say this. We do take families, and we do need families. We need families that will come out, and we have men who sometimes go out, like Jeremy Slate, and mow almost all week long. Right, Jeremy? They put you on the back of a fast mower, and you mow. That's a lot of acreage to mow. We have women who will who serve in our kitchens, and they have amazing meals, fresh homemade bread and chicken and noodles and all that, that they supply for not only the students, the campers, but others who are working sort of behind the scenes there. The cost of this is $425 for the students, for our leaders. We're able to get them in the door a little bit less expensive at about $200. And I'll talk, there's going to be another even cheaper opportunity for some people I'll talk about in a moment. But the application deadline for this is March 16th. We do need leaders. Laura and I go each year, but we cannot do this alone. We can't drive them all, number one. And number two, this is too big of a project for just a couple of people to oversee. A number of you have gone, and we just invite you, if you're interested, to come talk to us about going as leaders or as a family. You will not stay in a dorm. We actually put you up in homes there, not the students, the families. And so we want to make sure you're aware of that. Training begins April 23rd, and we need to get our students registered by March 16th. So two things I need to remind you of. After the service today, there'll be a silent auction. That's going to be a fundraiser to help offset the cost for these young people. And that's a great way to get involved. You can find out more about that in your bulletin. There's a little silent auction flyer explains how you can be involved, and we'll talk more later about that. But then the last opportunity is this. I got a phone call from Pastor Darrell, the pastor at a Peniel Bible Church, and he said, I've got an opportunity for you. And I didn't know if he meant for me or for us. Well, it was for us. And that they are going to add on an awning to the side of their camp building for sort of a porch area, and as well to they do a big outreach ministry there for people in need. They basically supply each month enough groceries to sort of help get families through the month. And they have a trailer they got to pull up there in the winter and in the rain. And so they're adding this porch, and they need men to come out and serve there. The only cost for you will be the cost to drive out there and back and your food going out and back. And so if you have some skill with your hands and aren't afraid to get on a ladder and work in the Kansas sun, your help could be greatly appreciated. So get involved, young people and adults as well. See, I was safe. I didn't have anybody back here with the...
I was already show you a sign. Okay, I'm timing myself, okay? All right, I'm up here to talk about two missions opportunities. One of those is to Dominican Republic with Freedom International Ministries, and the other one would be about Jordan. So first of all, let me talk to you about Dominican Republic. As you can see up here, if you can imagine miles and miles of nothing but sugar cane, and in the middle of that sugar cane, they have batays. These are villages where you're born into, you live there all your life, and then you die there, and you never get outside of that sugar cane. That's what's happening in the ministry we have in Dominican Republic right now. I want to tell you a story that hopefully translate into encouraging you to go. I went there last year, and we stayed at a place that was some distance from the sugar cane. It took us about 45 minutes to get to where we wanted to minister. And every morning, we were only one block away from the Caribbean Sea. So I went out every morning, took my Bible, sat down and read for about 30 minutes, and I love the ocean. So the last day I was there, I thought, I'm going to pick up a bunch of seashells. I'm going to take them. I'm going to show that to the kids in these batays. So I did that. I stuffed them in my pocket. I went to the batay that day. Went up to a little boy that I really grew very fond of during my week there. And I pulled this seashell out, and I said, here, I want to give you this. And he said, what is that? I said, it's a seashell. He said, what's a seashell? I said, that's something you find on a beach. What's a beach? Well, the beach is right next to the ocean. What's an ocean? This is a little boy who grew up 10 miles away from the Caribbean Sea. He didn't even know what it was. And that's what happens to these kids. In this ministry right now, we have kids who are in kindergarten. They have had about a year and a half of training through Freedom International Ministries. These children who are in kindergarten are already wiser than their brothers and sisters in fifth and sixth grade. And in some cases, they already have more knowledge than their parents. This is going to be a tremendous ministry. You see the walls coming up right now. And we're getting ready to put in a sewer system. Chad Williams has volunteered to go there and very shortly, and he's going to help put in a sewer system. This is an opportunity for these children to be all they can be. So we want to give them a good Christian education. They're already becoming bilingual, and they can make a difference in Dominican Republic. That's the goal of this ministry. We have two opportunities, April 6th through 12th. Jan Bartanian and Nola Tucker are going to Dominican Republic just to be there, just to see the ministry and to help out with the school. They would love to have some company. On August 9 through 16, you'll see more about this next week, I am hoping to have a team go down there and help with the construction. We're looking for people who want to help build this school. It's going to be an amazing thing. The only other thing I want to talk with you about today is a possible trip to Jordan, and that's being planned for later in the year. And Jay Kando will be putting together this trip. And if you would like to have more information on this, please see Dan Kando. Okay? Two great opportunities. All right. Now I'm going to transition to would you like to become a missionary? So you see on the board there, this is on our outreach wall. What I'm going to talk about, first of all, these are newsletters that come in about once every 3 months from all of our missionaries. I pray that you take the time to really read through those so you know how to pray for our missionaries. But what I really want to concentrate on is these three documents over here. The one on the top there is short-term missions application for groups. If you'd like to lead a group somewhere, grab one of those forms, fill it out, give it to me or one of the members of the mission council. The one underneath that is the same thing. It's a short-term missions application for individuals. If you would like to take a trip somewhere, fill that out and get in touch with us. What I really want to talk about for the next 4 minutes is that document right there. So you're thinking about becoming a missionary. How do you become a missionary? Well, this is a multifaceted task. First of all, you have to start the process. That form I pointed out to you has a form that we call AMIS, AMIS, Aspiring Missionary Information Sheet. Grab one of those, read through it, fill that document out, and give it to me or one of the members of the Missions Council. I'll tell you who they are in a minute. This will give us a written profile of where you are as we begin putting this process together for you to become a missionary. The members of the Missions Council are Dan and Wendy Candle, Dennis and Myrna Thompson, Doris Sprague, Steve Kincaid, Noah Tucker, and myself. So fill that out and give that to us. And then we will set up a meeting with one of the Mission Council members so you can start talking with them. At that meeting, we will outline a rough prescription of steps that we will recommend that you take. So that starts the process. Number two, you need to establish a growth plan. 1 to 4 years is not an unrealistic amount of time to get to the mission field. So we will set up periodic meetings to evaluate progress and make changes in the program as needed. Number three are personal areas. There are three areas of the personal areas. Number one is your walk with God. Being a missionary requires a life of obedience. It is a prerequisite for fruitfulness. Number two, your Bible knowledge. Many mission agencies have a requirement that their missionaries have at least 30 college credits of Bible. So that is very likely a requirement that you will need. You also need to know the scriptures very well, and you must be effective in using the sword of the Spirit. And the third thing under personal areas is your missions awareness. We will recommend several books for you to read. And also we recommend that you go on short-term mission trips and that you spend time with missionaries. That can be very helpful to you and later on. Number four, there are corporate areas, three areas of corporate areas to get involved in. Number one is involvement in the local church. This is very key. Get involved in both fellowship and serving types of activities. This is a great place to refine your spiritual gifts and put them into action. We also want you to be very active in sharing your faith. Number two under corporate areas is decision-making within the church. You need to find out what ministry you're going to be involved in, where you're going to do it, and what agency you're going to work with. We want to provide encouragement and direction to you in this process. Number three in this area is internship. There may be a time when we want to sit down with you and develop an internship for 6 to 12 months so you work alongside the pastoral staff here at Harbor Shores. Those are corporate areas. Number five, you need to build a support team. You will need financial and you will need spiritual supporters. It is our desire that when you become a missionary at Harbor Shores, the bulk of your income, your support is going to come right here from the church, both through the church and through individual members within the church, and we will help you to accomplish that as well. Number six, you need to be sent. My timer just stopped on me. You need to be sent. Schedule your commissioning service. We will have a service in which we will publicly acknowledge your call and gifting, and at that time we will formally set you apart for the work that God has called you to do. Number seven, the last one, missions and the church. At Harbor Shores, we believe the biblical model for doing missions starts and ends with the local church. Even though you go through a missions agency, the local church is still responsible to help you in every way possible. So to recap this, you need to start a process. You need to establish a growth plan. You need to build a support team, and you need to be sent. One last couple of words here about becoming a missionary. As soon as our mortgage is retired and is getting very, very close, we have a promise of 50% additional funding for missions. We are really excited about this. We have sent Amen. Thank you. We have sent 6 new missionaries to the field from Harbor Shores in just the last couple of years. I also have a list of 8 potential missionaries that we're working with right now that we intend to possibly support once we get the additional support. 5 of these members, potential members, have strong ties to Harbor Shores Church. So we are very, very excited about that. So if you feel God's call to become a missionary, please contact one of the members of the Missions Council. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29b. This is the central message of Behold the Lamb and the verse from which we draw the name. It is with great humility and great praise to our God that I share this update on Behold the Lamb 2014. For those of you who are new to Harbor Shores, Behold the Lamb is an original theatrical production founded in 1991 and produced by Harbor Shores Church. Beginning with a cast and choir of approximately 30, the ministry has now grown to involve over 300 costumed individuals with over 250 in the support staff, all of whom are faithful members or faithful attenders of Harbor Shores. The production takes the audience through the Old Testament with the children of Israel and the prophets into the New Testament with the birth, life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, with most of the time being spent covering the week of Passover. The production is called the Hamilton County Passion Play. It is also called Behold the Lamb, referred to as BTL, not to be confused with a BLT sandwich, or the Lamb, as the faculty and staff at Noblesville High School fondly refer to it. It is comprised of 22 scenes and is 2 hours in length with no intermission. The goals of this ministry are to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to extol the gospel, and to edify the believer. This Friday, God has given us the privilege of moving into the Noblesville High School Performing Arts Center for Behold the Lamb 2014. NHS has partnered with us in this ministry for 22 of the 24 years. The first 2 years, the presentation was done in the original worship center here on this campus. An estimated 150,000 individuals have heard the gospel through Behold the Lamb, including many representatives, senators, congressmen, and local law officials. Approximately 3,500 individuals have indicated that they have accepted Christ through this ministry, all of whom who have received discipleship materials to encourage them in their new life in Christ. Literally thousands of hours are invested in preparation for each year. Let me give you a glimpse of what God has done through this year in preparation for BTL 2014. The numbers tell the story, but nothing is accomplished apart from the Lord equipping and leading us. In October, an orientation meeting was held for new church members. 95% of our church members signed up in November to participate. During costume checks, 436 costumes were checked, including 269 pairs of sandals, accessory pieces for 205 people, 190 gold collars, 11 blankets, 9 diaper covers for babies, and 1 diaper cover for Methuselah the Lamb. The sewing team, under the direction of Michelle Mitchell, on sewing day made 80-plus new costumes for those that were 5 years and older. In addition to that, this year they are adding to the BTL wardrobe costumes, which are now made and ready to go for all the infants and toddlers in the production. The BTL wardrobe team, under the direction of Sherry Voth, have re-inventoried and fitted the 750 pieces of the BTL wardrobe costumes and accessories for this year's cast. The choir has logged 10 hours of rehearsal, might feel like years to them, 10 hours of rehearsal and 2 hours at a recording session. All scenes were rehearsed within the 2 days of scene rehearsal weekend. Under the direction of Cheryl Colburn, a VBS-style theme was chosen, devotionals written, and crafts prepared for 100 children, for the children that are in Behold the Lamb. Since the ticket office opened last Monday under the direction of Miriam Oren, every ticket has been distributed and all performances are now full to the glory of God. The last 3 tickets to be processed were for Wednesday night, and a call came in requesting 3 tickets for Wednesday night. God is always in the details, and sometimes he gives us a glimpse of his amazing word. Approximately 20,000 ticket requests will go unfilled due to already capacity crowds. Yesterday, 4,500 cookies were baked and 60 gallons of punch made for the reception. 7 meals have been and are being organized for those serving, all but one feeding approximately 300-plus cast, choir, support staff. Last week, 24 banners were hung around the Noblesville Courthouse Square, and a 4x8 banner will go up on the corner of the courthouse lawn next Sunday, all possible because of our ministry partners at Noblesville Main Street and the Hamilton County Commissioner's Office. This year we needed to fill positions, not people, but positions for 424 child care workers. That's based on adult child ratio, 189 ushers, 70 reception servers, 18 lunch servers, 140 facilities team, 30 parking team, 293 cleaning positions, 112 on the prayer team, 70 on the counting team, plus office, bulk mailing personnel, tech, crew, stage, light, sound, makeup, animal care props, snacks, set construction, set painting, decorating, costumes, seamstresses, semi-trailer transport, program stuffers, etc. And God met every single need through you in every single area. We are not short, and we're not overstaffed. We have every single need met. God has used you as you have responded to this opportunity to go and proclaim his name, to carry out the Great Commission. Jesus has been the central focus of this ministry from its inception. We have seen firsthand it does not matter how small or how big your ministry is. It only matters that Jesus is proclaimed. What began as a traditional Easter cantata has grown to involve almost 98% of our church annually and draws individuals from across the Midwest. Several individuals who called the ticket office expressed their appreciation for your ministry and said they were praying very specifically for our church family and very specifically for Don as he shares the gospel. Most of them are bringing new people who are not saved or who need to be encouraged in the Lord. Behold, the Lamb is the work of God, and we will continue to seek his direction on how to best steward his kingdom work. In closing, three prayer points for BTL 2014. Please pray that the mighty power of God will fill the Performing Arts Center, drawing men, women, and children to Christ. Please pray for the health, safety, and strength of all involved in serving. Please pray that we would know the mind of Christ and reflect him in all that is said and done. Please pray for a mighty stirring of hearts to be fully surrendered to his divine plan for their lives. And please pray that God will use us to pierce through the darkness with a light of his love. All of this respectfully submitted to you this morning. Sole Deo Glory, for the glory of God alone.
For those of you that wonder why I'm smiling up here, Pastor Larry is timing everyone. And he puts up 1 minute, 30 seconds. Stop. Stop. I wasn't breaking out the taser on her. Some of you haven't heard it yet. It's back there. All right. Hey, I'm eating into my time right now. I'm here to speak about outreach. And folks, we say at Harbor Shores Church that outreach is our joyful mission. But you know, the only way that that will be true is if you make outreach your joyful mission. Because we are not just the church when we come together, we are the church. And we are the church whether we're at work, whether we're at school, whether we're in our home, no matter where we're at, outreach should be your joyful mission. And in being your joyful mission, it will become together our joyful mission. It's not a slogan. It is what Christ has called us to do and to be. And so with that in mind, we have sort of tried to create, I guess if you want to call that, to help foster a culture of outreach at Harbor Shores Church. We want it to be something that not only are people doing, but that they're talking about, that we're thinking about and being creative about. And you may have seen some of these things over the years that we'll talk more about in a minute, but our pattern has been to identify needs and opportunities in our community. What is out there that we could go and do to connect with the people of Central Indiana, especially in the communities of Noblesville and Cicero and some of those closer communities? And then, second thing is to how can we use the resources of this church to carry the love of Christ and the gospel of Christ to our neighbors? You see, we don't believe that it's enough to just carry the love of Christ and to express compassion. That is a wonderful thing. That makes people feel good, and it may be a winsome way, but it's not enough to bring people to Christ. And so we believe that it's necessary and essential to outreach to include the gospel of Christ. to our neighbors. And so that's what we're about. In 2013, we had a number of things that continued to go on. First of all, we had prayer on the porch with Joan Ruth Futrell, juvenile detention, and I say with, led by Joan Ruth Futrell. The Juvenile Detention Center, Dan Candle, and a great team of people have been involved in that every week, reaching, I don't know how many, young people with the gospel. And then tutoring, that was begun a number of years ago, and Michelle Mitchell had a vision for that. This is sort of that, she made it her joyful outreach. Well, then the church got on board with her, and now Nola Tucker helps head that up. A number of years ago, Linda Moore helped kick off our nursing home ministry. Well, today, there's a number of you that are involved in that, and Jack Gates is heading that up. His crew, you heard about the trips they're taking, but John Adams and others have been involved in that. Thank you, John, for being our point man. That's involved in local ministry to people in need, as well as going away to places like Word of Life. This past year, you were all involved in this project, but the youth delivered the food distribution over the Thanksgiving holiday, and then we had our Thirsty outreach that we're involved in this past summer. Very quickly, just for a little bit of fun here, you want to know if people are actually going and getting these cups of cold water that we give in the name of Christ at our Noblesville street dance? If you look closely, yellow cups scattered all through the crowd there. And that crowd generally runs between 10 and 15,000 people on a Saturday evening in July. It's hot, and we identified that as an opportunity where a lot of people are and a real need. And we went, and we have a tent there. We've actually paid to be one of the food vendors in order to be among the people and to be able to not only give water, but to give out tracts and to have our people in contact with our community. Just in case you wonder how far this goes, go to that next slide. It's even two of them right there, right up on the stage. So even the entertainers are getting in on the act. So outreach is it can look a lot of different ways. That's one of them. In April, April 13th to be exact, we have our next outreach leadership team meeting. At this meeting, some of the things on our agenda are engaging ABFs in our mission. In other words, it's not just about us individuals and or us doing things all together as a whole church. Man, wouldn't it be great if each ABF began to really take a charge there on outreach? And then we want to encourage families this summer. How can we get families engaged in their neighborhoods, reaching people for Christ? More in terms of our Thirsty outreach, thinking of other ways to get involved in our community with that idea. I've had people come up to me and say, oh, you're the Thirsty church, aren't you? And yes, I hope we are. I hope we're thirsty for the gospel, thirsty for the word of God, thirsty for fellowship, thirsty for prayer, thirsty for all these things. But we want them to know that their greatest thirst can be met in Jesus Christ. And we would love to help them know that need met. And finally, as has already been mentioned, I'll not say much more about it. We have our Trunk or Treat or Fall Festival coming up this fall. That is a coordinated effort between the children's ministry and the outreach team. And our passion is that it not be a Harbor Shores, let's get together and have a great time event. It's our passion that we reach people for Christ. And if we do, it'll be the most fun event we could possibly have this fall. Because nothing is better than when the people of God are doing what God has called us to do. And that's our joyful mission of outreach.
Good morning. I get the opportunity to speak to you this morning about benevolence. And when you think about benevolence, you might think about money, writing checks, meeting needs, and that's just part of the whole picture. So I want you to get a look at what we're about with benevolence. And first of all, we want to be obedient to the Word of God and ascribing glory to God in our obedience as stewards in meeting the needs of physical, financial, and spiritual as they turn out through the ministry of benevolence. And when people come to us with benevolent needs or you bring them up, which we love it, by the way, if you know of somebody who has benevolent needs, I can't say the word this morning, you know those kind of needs, you come to us, it's great. What we find is typically there's a couple camps of folks. One are the folks that just have some bad situation happen, has nothing to do with their lives and their financial needs. The other side of the coin are people who have struggled because of their own sin and disobedience and have found themselves in a real financial pickle, but they're looking to the Word of God to be obedient and to walk forward in that walk of repentance. And we want to be an encouragement to both those people and help both those kinds of people meet their needs. And because of that, if you'll notice that benevolent ministry is a holistic ministry. And what we mean by that is because of those two types of facets, particularly the second facet, there can be a lot involved versus just writing a check to meet needs. So what we do is we look to find a point person to walk along, to do the with me thing with the people that we're ministering to. And they're going to provide insight and mentoring for the people that we're sharing with, as well as back to the benevolent team to say, this is really the best way that we can minister in this situation. Another thing is practical steps. Things like putting together budgets, prioritization, working with bill collectors. How do we deal with that? We get involved with all those pieces. And then the last piece, but not, certainly not the least, in fact, the most important, we want to encourage people and pray with them. Because we view this as we're walking alongside of people as we're all walking that lifelong walk of repentance to the glory of God. In the next slide, we'll talk about the fact that benevolence is a very practical ministry. We really focus on the four walls. We want to make sure people have a roof over their head. We want to make sure that their utilities are being met, that they have food for the family. A lot of times this leads into helping them find employment. Maybe putting resumes together, maybe leads, tips, those kinds of things. And so that's another piece of what we're involved with. Another piece of benevolence that you may not think about is that we really want to focus on the next generation. So the youth that are coming up, we really, really care. And we've had some of you, in fact, it was Nola brought up this morning about camp. We've had people give to benevolence with a heart to help youth be able to participate in things that we're offering from the church. And we have a big heart for that. So that's part of what we do as well. And then another piece from a practical aspect is we have the food pantry that Ron and Joan started and keep stocked and what have you. And we have gift cards. And you guys contributed that. And those meet the practical needs that are just on a daily basis. But none of this can be done without a great team. And I'll tell you what, I get to come up and speak about it. But I want to introduce Josh Leonard. Josh, if you'd come up here, please. And please give him a hand. I want to tell you, we have some great deacons in this church. And I just praise the Lord for them. Because I tell you, I couldn't do this. I'm not capable of doing this. And I'm so thankful for brothers like Josh Leonard. Josh actually leads benevolence from a deacon standpoint. He handles all of the administration of that, as well as coordinating with these point people. So Josh, come on up here. And feel free to share anything that's on your heart as we're going along. But as the slide comes up, you'll also see there's other folks. Doug Oren's been involved real heavily in the past, and he continues from his role with the deacons. Ron and Joan, I mentioned about the food ministry, and then various deacons and point people that come alongside when we're meeting specific requirements and things out there. Would you like to say a few words for our folks?
Sure. 30 seconds. Tell me if he moves, all right? Hey, I just want to thank you for... Yeah.
That guy, hey, I'm here to take the bullet. Go ahead.
I get 10 extra seconds for that. All right. I do want to thank you for your giving on behalf of the benevolence team and all the brothers and sisters that you have helped. And they are grateful as well. And the funds that allow us to meet such needs come directly from the benevolent offerings that are taken up on Communion Sundays, as well as any... specifically designated funds that you send in at any time. So whenever those come in, those allow us to meet these needs. And when we do administer those, we do seek to practice good biblical principles like good stewardship, grace, and also accountability. So again, I just wanted to thank you.
Thank you, Josh. And we have one more slide. And in 2013, you guys have given most generously, and we've been able to share about $12,000 worth of benevolence with here in the body. So thank you very much. God be the glory. Thank you.
My time is running.
Yvonne, do you want this?
I'm here to talk this time about usage of surplus funds from 2013. First of all, I want you to give yourselves a hand, okay? Because we had $13,796 left over from last year in the black. So give yourselves a hand, okay? So we sat down as an elder body and we have prayed about this and we're trying to figure out how to be the best stewards of all that God has entrusted to us. And we have these four items that are up there on the board. The first one is a Family Life Center ministry closet. If you're sitting in the Family Life Center and you look at the stage on the left-hand side, you know there's a big closet in there, and we have a lot of tables and chairs, etc. And whenever we have special events, we pull those out and make the Family Life Center very beautiful. Well, what we need is something for a lot more items as well. Anytime we have a special event and we decorate the Family Life Center, it always looks beautiful. The ladies just do an incredible job making that look nice. But what you don't know is the things that go into making that look so good come from behind where we are right now. They come from the second story in the children's area. And so all those items have to be carried all the way from up there down to the Family Life Center. After the event's over, they have to go back there again. So we're wanting to build a new ministry closet, which will be on the right side. It will mirror the closet that's on the left side. So the cost of doing that is about $6,000. And Mike Smith is volunteered once again. Mike does so many wonderful things for our church. Give Mike a hand. So later this year, whenever Mike gets freed up a little bit in his time, we're going to begin that, $6,000. The next item is signage. This is especially important for visitors who come on Sunday mornings here. It's very important during the week when people come to visit with the pastoral staff. They don't know where to go. You go to the main entrance, you go to the entrance over here, the one down the administrative building. So we really needed some signage. So we are planning on spending $4,250 on signage. The first thing we're looking at right now is a new sign for in front of the church. If you look at the signs on each end of the street, you will see that you know what the new signs kind of look like. We're looking at a bigger sign now out in front of the church. It's going to be really nice. Andy Chapman has been very, very good designing these things for us. So we're going to have a new sign in front of the church. The next thing is when visitors come in here on Sunday mornings, they don't know where to park. We want somewhere special for them to park. The last island that you will see when you come in the main entrance, there's a sign right now that says visitor parking. It's got an arrow to the left. We want to keep that same location, but we want a new sign. It's going to say visitor parking to the left, but underneath that, on the same sign, it will say church offices with an arrow pointing to the right to get us into the administrative. That brings us to the third sign that we've already purchased. It's hanging on the church building down in the administrative wing right now, if you haven't seen that already. So they get a sign, say, go to the right. The sign down there is over the door, and it says church offices and administration. So people can find us easily now. Last week I had somebody coming in from outside the church to council, and I went out looking for them because they were 5 minutes late. They were sitting at the main entrance. So, you know, this will help tremendously all of us. $4,250 for that one. Ministry opportunity area. You've heard us talking for about the last 5 or 6 weeks about where to go for sign-ups. Well, if you walk out of here and you walk into the Family Life Center, and if you stay on the north side of the church, that's the old entrance. We are making that where we sign up for all the events from now on. And we're really dressing that up. Scott Lewis has been very busy. He put in some new lights. It's very bright. And we're going to put some carpet on the walls like we did for the outreach wall. And it's going to be very nice. We're also going to have some big letters over the door, ministry opportunity area. $2,750 for that one. The fourth area is future stage lighting. We are still gathering quotes for this one. We don't know how much it's going to cost. It's going to be more than the $796 we have left, but that'll be a beginning for it. This will enhance the ministry on Sunday mornings, and we're going to get some different colored lights, et cetera, for different events. So it's going to be something very, very nice. So thank you very much for your giving, and I still have 10 seconds left, Stephen.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's my joy to be able to talk to you now for the next few minutes about our efforts to retire our present mortgage. Did you look at your bulletin this morning?
Praise the Lord.
Man. I think Stephen's right. A lot of you haven't looked at it yet. Do you see the mortgage balance? There they go. Well, in case you're still slow to the draw here, that's $100,000 less than last Sunday. Praise God. Praise God. Before I talk to you about exactly where we are and what the plans are going forward for the retirement of the debt and then what is to be done with those freed up funds, I think it's important for all of us just to briefly review some of the history of how we got to where we are. A lot of you are new to the church, and this will be helpful to you. You'll recall, many of you, that almost 10 years ago, on June the 4th of 2004, we dedicated our most recent 23,000 square foot building project, which was constructed at a cost of $3.7 million, of which we borrowed $2.6 million. Now keep that number in mind. One of the things that we wrestled with as leadership was, if we take this large step and make a commitment to this kind of responsibility and burden, will that in any way hinder our progress in accomplishing the things that we are here to do, or will it take away from our focus? And that's certainly a proper question. Let me share with you what has happened in the past 10 years. During the time that we've had this $2.6 million mortgage, 1 year after we dedicated the building in June of 2005, we purchased an additional 5 acres of land at the cost of $140,000, and that land has been appraised now at over $500,000. The year following that, because of the donated labor of many of our own people, we were able to construct and fully equip a beautiful 1,250-square-foot kitchen for $45,000, which has been appraised at over $200,000. And just last year, now all this is in the same window of time, just last year we completely renovated the first floor of the Children's Educational Building, and by doing so, about 2,400 square feet by the way, by doing so we were able to obtain much needed nursery space, and we did that at a cost of $70,000, and that has been appraised at a value of $150,000. Now, why do I review this with you? Well, I want you to understand that all this was going on while we had the commitment of a $2.6 million mortgage. Taken together, the three things I've just mentioned to you, which I refer to as property and building costs, totaled $255,000. And get this. We, by the grace of God, were able to pay cash for all of it. Praise God. But wait, there's more. In addition to that $255,000 within that same period of time, 10 years, as a church, we've also been privileged, and this will blow you away, we've also been privileged to give over $200,000 to the Benevolent Fund. We've been privileged to give over $278,000 to missions, and we have been privileged to give over $120,000 to community outreach. Amen. Is that cool or what? Taken together, those three strategic ministry expenditures totaled $598,000, and all of that incredibly generous giving was above and beyond our budget. Taken together, when you add that $255,000 from those building and land expenditures to the $598,000 for those ministry endeavors, you're talking about $853,000 paid for, given. I know you're excited about it. I hope. That's amazing to me. But wait, there's more. In that same window of time, past 10 years, we've also sent out 6 missionary families, as Pastor Larry mentioned, and hired 2 part-time staff members. Now, in answer to the question, if we take on a $2.6 million mortgage, will it take away our focus and our progress? I think the answer is it didn't. To the glory of God, it didn't. And we praise Him for it. Now back to the $2.6 million mortgage. Okay? And I realize I got to stop. Maybe that will help me feel better. Zap me there, Stephen.
What exactly did you want that?
Yeah. Yeah, that may charge me up. I know, and please, I ask for your indulgence here. Because of the grace of God, the faithful giving of His people here at Harbor Shores, we've made tremendous strides over the past 10 years in paying down the $2.6 million. When I stood here last year, almost to the day, our mortgage balance at that time was $594,171.60. But guess what? Since that day, an additional $513,001.60 has been paid down against our mortgage, leaving us with a balance, as you see in your bulletin, of $81,170. Amen. In less than 10 years, God has enabled us to pay down our mortgage by $2,518,830. When the mortgage is paid off, it frees up $250,000 a year to invest in strategic ministry. That's exciting. So what's our goal? What's our plan? Here's the goal. Now you got this? Here's the goal. Our goal is to have our mortgage paid off by June the 8th of this year. June 8th. Can you say June 8th?
June 8th.
That will be exactly 10 years from the time that we dedicated the building. Exactly 5 years earlier than our mortgage commitment required, and exactly 13 weeks from the day. You say, great, how are we going to do it? I'll tell you how we're going to do it. Here's the plan. We have a budgeted mortgage amount built in, as you know, in our budget of $17,000 a month. We have 3 months before June 8th. You add those 3 months together, that's $51,000. So take your $81,000 and minus $51,000. Our real mortgage balance is exactly $30,170. You follow how I did that? So you take that $30,170, divide it by the 13 weeks that takes up to June 8th, and we're talking about a need of $2,321 each week to pay off the mortgage. You say, great, how are we going to do that? Let me tell you how we're going to do it. The first idea came to us from Harold Stewart, and it's called Our Change for a Change. Scott Lewis, please, if you would, come on out. Let's give Scott a big hand as he wheels out a big barrel. Fantastic, Scott. Now, yeah, let me tell you what this barrel is all about. By the way, yeah, did you hear that? There's a ton of change in there already. A sign on it says, Our Change for a Change. All that is contributed to this barrel, all coins, will go directly toward mortgage. This is something that every family can get involved in, that every child can get involved in. Already a significant amount of coin has been deposited into this barrel. You've got them everywhere. They're in your car, in your couch, in your kitchen, in your bedroom. They just collect. Why not gather it all together and say, you know what? We're going to give that. You say, well, that won't be much. Well, you don't know that it won't be much, and every little bit helps. So give, and give generously. You and I both have, at least when I went through our home and collected all ours, I couldn't believe how much change was there. So when you talk about hope and change, this is the real change. Scott's going to put this bucket, this big barrel, out by the Welcome Center at a front post so that oh, here we go. There we go. Amen. Thank you, Ron. In fact, the other device that Stephen has is a metal detector. We won't let you out of the building if there's change in your pocket.
Turn them upside down, shake them.
We'll shake them down. Scott, thank you, brother. The other part of the plan is not only our change for a change, but his challenge to his church. What would be the challenge of Christ to us as we are headed down the home stretch? It's within reach. We're talking about $30,000. Against a $2.6 million mortgage less than 10 years ago? What a God we serve, right? What can we do? Well, I think we've got all kinds of options here. Every one of us can contribute in some way. We're talking about generous and sacrificial giving, all above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings. My appeal to the 325 families that call Harbor Shores their home church is to dig deep. Let's knock this thing out. Let's be done with the mortgage. Let's free up $250,000 for future ministry. Will you pray about it? Will you? And will you commit to it? Get your kids involved. Everybody can participate. If we had 30 families to give $1,000, we'd be done. If you knew that the last $1,000 was on the table, would you give it? Challenges like that are things we need to think about. Again, it's all about paying off the balance of the mortgage. Now, mortgage burning date is June the 8th. Of 2014. You say, what then? What then? What will we do then? Well, we had shared with you last year at this time that there are five priorities that as elders we have identified as things that we want to fund as soon as the mortgage is retired. You remember talking about that? The first thing that we wanted to do was to hire a children's educational director. Well, God led in such an unusual way that as of January 1st, that's already done. NOLA is on board. The second thing that we want to do is to increase, as Larry mentioned a moment ago, our missions budget by 50% from $140,000 annually to $210,000 annually. That's an increase of $70,000. Don't you think God will be pleased with that? The third thing to which we will direct money is the funding to expand discipleship and outreach. The main reasons that we are here. Fourth, to begin saving for our future building expansion. If you've seen the drawing that's right across the hallway from the outreach wall, there is another phase that has been in the big picture design. More classroom space, a gymnasium, all of which will help us as we continue to accomplish the purposes of God. Fifth is to fund an intern ministry to train ministry leaders. I am so excited about this and so thankful to God that we're so close. You can taste it, can't you? Let's knock this thing out so that more quickly than June 8th, we're able to knock this baby. I told the elders a number of months, if not a year ago, hey, I will not retire or step away from the ministry here until our mortgage is done. Well, being so close, a lot of them are asking. Well, you ready to leave? Well, no, I don't want to go now. But I'm thankful to God that we're this close. Thank you so much. Doug Oren, come on, brother. Share with us about security.
Good morning. I normally open with a joke, but I told Pastor Don yesterday I wouldn't make him the butt of any of my jokes anymore, so I'll get right to it. I am one of the participants on the security, the Safety and Security Committee. We are comprised of two units, a guiding unit, which is the Safety and Security Committee, and then we have our Safety and Security Team, which is the legs, the arms, the feet that fulfill this mission, the church. Our purpose is to proactively protect its patrons from physical harm and reactively respond to emergency situations. And we carry this out on the auspices of our elders and our church eldership. Over the last year, we have conducted some training of those men who are part of that safety and security team. There are 21 men who actively participate, besides our men who are on the safety committee. We will cover areas such as fire, storm, safety of all the individuals in the building, great attention being placed upon the children's ministries. Now, this may sound rather simple, and originally when I started thinking about this, I thought, well, shoot, this won't take much time. It's a small task, and ends up that there are a great many areas which I had never contemplated when I considered doing this. We have individuals in our church that we rely upon for specific things that are beyond my understanding, and so we involve a lot of people from the church. With these 21 men, we participated just recently in January with a training session, and that, having completed that, we realized that we have a long way to go, and we will be involving our teachers. We will be involving all of our lay leaders. And the purpose is that we want everyone to be conscious of this particular subject, but at the same time, we don't want it to dominate our attention. We want to approach safety and security as just a normal thing as any husband does or father in taking care of his home. But it's something we do take seriously. I'm just going to go into the notes because the time is rather short here, but one of the biggest things that's occurred in the last year, I don't know if you've noticed, is that Doty is no longer doing our security coordinator for the children's ministries, and it's now Toby Tucker. I think many of the parents have met him. If you have any children in the junior church or in the KBF hour, that you have to go through some security protocols, and that is overseen by Nola Tucker. But Toby is our security man in that position. Along with that, I would like to bring you up to date on some notes as regarding the building. And one of the goals is to allow people have access through the building freely and to move about and for us to be unnoticed. But we do pay attention to what is occurring. And a primary goal being safety and security, especially of those who can't protect themselves. I was asked a few weeks ago, you know, why do you guys put that sign out by the hallway going to the junior church area at the main service hour? There's a reason. If you've ever noticed, there's a sign sitting there that says, please use the bathrooms in the east wing. It's because once we start the junior church, we consider that a protected area, and we would like the adults to assist us by using the restrooms at the rear of the auditorium here during main service. And it's part of a security protocol. It's not meant to be directed at anyone, but that's just one of the things that we consider. So if you would work with us on that, we don't mean to offend anyone, but that's just part of our profile. Signs on the eastern door have been there for a couple years. We do close those doors and lock them. There's a reason. We want to, in the case there would ever actually be, you know, God help us, someone who would desire to harm someone in the church with a weapon, we try to make access to the auditorium when everyone is sitting with their backs to the wall. We try to make it so that it would take a little longer and we would have more time to intercept. So there are reasons for some of the minor inconveniences you will run into. One thing I would like to add to that right now, we'd appreciate it when people come in and when they leave, please don't use these emergency exit doors. Please go use the doors at the rear. There's no air blocks on these doors that allows heat and air conditioning out, but we also want to treat these as emergency doors as part of our, and it's also part of our security profile. I don't think there's anything else right now, but if you have any questions regarding security, why we're doing things, please just come see me or come see Trent Blake or Jason Ells or Jeremy Hunt. We are trying to be as invisible as possible, but we do take security very seriously. And this, since we are an open and public institution, there are certain things that we need to do just to aid in protecting our patrons. All right, thank you very much.
I just want you to know that if I'm not here next Sunday, it's because I showed this sign to Pastor Don for 7 minutes. Okay? Okay, that leaves me 4 minutes and 45 seconds for the rest of what I have to talk to you about. Pathway to Maturity courses. I'm really excited about what we're going to have for the next two semesters. I think we have the best courses we've ever offered on Sunday evenings. And a word about our Pathway to Maturity courses. I don't always pick courses that just help us to know more about God's Word. I try to pick predominantly courses that help us to live God's Word. So let me tell you about some of the new courses we're going to be offering, first of all. The first one is a course on church history. Pastor Don is excited about this. He really wants to teach this course, and it's going to be a great one. I promise you that. You know that. The next one is God's at War. This is a new book by Kyle Eidelman. He's the one who wrote Not a Fan last year. It's a great book. And what it is saying is that sin is at the heart of all of our separation from God. But he goes on in this book to talk about what that sin really is. It's about idol worship. And the idol worship that we're going to be looking at in this course, we set food up as idols, sex, entertainment, success, finances, family, and ourselves. That's the biggest idol, isn't it? So it's going to be a great course. I'm really praying that Dan Schlegel may be able to teach that course. Next one is Revelation. Neil Horn, during the last semester, taught the first half of Revelation. We had many people in that course. He's in Florida right now. He goes there for the winter, but when he returns in the fall, he will be teaching Revelation, the second part of that.
He's back now.
He's back now. Okay. Neil, you're back. Okay, the next one is What Are You Afraid Of? This is a book by David Jeremiah. If you've ever read or heard David Jeremiah, you know this is going to be a good book. I think it's one of the best books out of the last year. The subtitle of this is Facing Down Your Fears with Faith. It's going to be a great course. I've been talking with Jonah Carpenter about leading this course. That's going to be a really good one. Next one is Angelology by Mike Colwell. He has taught this in his ABF. And this is a fascinating study. I think maybe just about all of us have a misconception about angels. And when you get in there and find out what angels are all about, you're going to have an awe that you never had before. And it's a great course. If you take this, you will really learn a lot, and you're going to love it. The last one is a book of Ecclesiastes. I personally believe that Ecclesiastes is the most evangelical book in the Bible. It's all about Solomon, and he fell away from God during his life, and I believe he wrote this book as an atonement for his life. Steve Kincaid is preparing a course on this right now, and I'm really excited about that one. Ongoing, we have the PTN courses you see there be offered again. Financial Peace University, I'm really excited about this one. The last two semesters of Financial Peace University have been the best I've ever led. Last semester, we only had about 20 people in the class, which is big for that class, but that class reduced $30,000 worth of debt in 14 weeks. It's amazing. They got on budgets. They became good steward of all that God has entrusted to them. So, this semester, I see the class doing just as well, if not better. So, that's a good one. Prayer on the Porch. Joe Futrell has been leading this for years, and his team goes out and they knock on doors and they ask people how they can pray for them. Many times they have opportunities to evangelize. It's a great ministry. It's a great outreach. The legacy journey, this kind of picks up where financial peace leaves off. This is a new course in the church. Adam Edmonds has been leading that, and I really pray that you will take a hard look at that because it helps you more how you can invest your money. It just takes the whole Financial Peace University to a new level. And when I say invest, don't get the wrong idea. I wish everybody in church were a millionaire and you would tithe off that. Think of what we could do for the Lord if we had more money coming into the church, how we could send more missionaries to the field, how we could affect our community. The legacy journey. Titus 2, Lisa Jennings for the last several years has led this, and she usually has about 50 to 60 ladies in that course, and they are doing some incredible things right now. So that'd be offered again. And the last one is Behold Your God. This is a course that Chris Fritz taught for the first time this semester. I'm hearing wonderful things. People are loving it. And that covers everything. I pray that everybody here will get involved in a PTM course if you're not ministering somewhere else in the church. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Joan Henriksen, and I've been asked to report on Women's Ministries and the Food Pantry. Women's Ministries is thriving here at Harbor Shores, and if you're a woman, I've got some great news for you concerning our upcoming year. Our main outreach to the ladies and your guests are our three main events. First is our Daughters of the King event, which was formerly titled Mother-Daughter Banquet. It's going to be on May the 9th, and I'm very excited to tell you that Taylor Dunbar Jennings will be our guest speaker. So please make a note and save that date, May 9th, here at Harbor Shores. Next will be our fall event. In September. That'll be September 12th and 13th, which will be an off-site retreat at Camp Avondale in Trafalgar, Indiana. The cost for one night for that and three meals will be around $58. And we just got word that our speakers will be our very own pastor's wives, Anna Fritz and Lisa Jennings. So you'll want to make sure that you save those dates as well. Last but not least is one of our favorites, Prelude to Christmas, held each first Tuesday in December. Our brochure is available to you on the table in the north hallway on the way to the Family Life Center. Other areas that are covered by us are the Ladies' Bible Studies, the Hands for Missions, Hearts for Home, Hearts for Missions, Meal Ministry, Secret Sister Ministry, Christmas Card Exchange and Distribution, and the Campbell's or the Shepherd's Label Ministry. And that's for the Campbell's Soup labels and the Box Top for Education labels. Please be sure to pick up your copy of your brochure or check us out on the website under Ministries. The Harbor Shores Food Pantry is also thriving well. Ron and I have been blessed from the non-perishable donations that you have provided Sunday after Sunday that are helping from more than 12 families. Some may ask why they see in the bulletin an emphasis for toiletries, soaps, household cleaning supplies, and paper products. And that's because those items are costly, and those participating in a food stamp program are restricted to buying only food items. So those other items are very important. We all go through tough times, so please come and take. We're here for you. Behind the blue door off the south hallway on the way to the Family Life Center. We thank our team of now six families who watch over the dates, the sorting, and the putting things away each week. And again, above all, again, we thank you for giving so well. Thank you.
What is real manhood? Do you know? There are a lot of caricatures of manhood out there. Is it about making money and being successful? Or does it mean killing things and eating their bloody hearts? Maybe it's getting in touch with your emotions. Really in touch.
Or maybe it's having technology that'll work, so sorry about that. It continues, but it kind of answers the question. What we're leading into with the ministry to men at Harbor Shores Church is called Journey to Biblical Manhood. We are partnering with Man in the Mirror Ministries. You remember David Delk spoke here a couple weeks ago as president of Man in the Mirror. And we are excited about this opportunity of what's happening. We're going to be involved in kind of a roadmap plan called Journey to Biblical Manhood. And with that, we're going to be kicking off on April 25th and 26th, a retreat that Pastor Chris Fritz is going to be leading for that Friday night and Saturday morning, and answering some of the questions. In your bulletin, we've given you a number of tools, and the guys on the men's planning team, and if you guys could wave, their names are listed. We don't have a lot of time, but we're excited about what's happening. And those four, basically, sessions that we're going to be doing, we're going to be looking at those for the next 4 years in planning. So we're, like I said, we're excited about what's happening with men's ministry. I know time is short, so Joe, come on up and we'll close.
Thanks, Steve. As we close this time, I just couldn't help but think, because of your love for Jesus, we can share the love of Jesus. So join me as we close our time with a prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we indeed are so thankful. Thankful for what you have done this past year, what you will be doing in this year ahead. As we hear and have heard the reports, it's evident that you're doing a work in this place. And just help us to continue to, with hearts of gratitude, give our all for you, because you have given your all for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.